Please open your Bibles to the book of John, the 10th chapter, John chapter 10, page 1129 in your Scofield Reference Bible. We'll be reading the 10th verse of John chapter 10, and then we'll turn to yet two other verses, and we'll read these verses in unison. Let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. You'll read with me the 10th verse of the 10th chapter of John. Ready? The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Turn now to chapter 11 and verse 25. Just another page over. Let's read it, please. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Turn a couple pages over to the 14th chapter and the 6th verse. John 14, verse 6. Let's read it, please. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And let's pray.
May I speak to you for a few minutes, please? I have a dual title for my message. I started to call it Seize Your Moment, and then I started to call it The Life Givers. You can call it whatever you want to call it. I'm sure it'll be called many things this afternoon over the lunch tables of this area. So you can name it whatever you want to name it. But we read a while ago where our Savior said, I've come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. I don't think he's just talking there about heaven. I think he's talking about an eternal possession of eternal life now, quality of life that we live here on earth, as well as heaven someday. And, of course, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And then he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus never said he possessed the life, come and he'd give it to you. He said, I am the life, come and you shall receive it. He does not give you eternal life, he is eternal life. And you accept him, not a gift like a package gift. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I hope you'll listen. Father, I want to seize my moment this morning. I'm 61 years old. I've gone pretty hard through these years. And I certainly want to seize the moment while I have it. That isn't all I want this morning. I want to be the kind of preacher that helps my people to seize their moment. I want to be a life giver. And I pray you'd help me this morning to actually breathe life from the great breath, the Holy Spirit, into the lives of my people today. Speak to our hearts. Do something real. Help it not to be just church because it's Sunday morning. Help it not to be a meal because it's time to eat, but help us to eat because we need strength. Feed our hungry souls today. Amen. I've come that they might have life. They might have it more abundantly. These, I think, are some of the greatest words that our Lord ever spoke. I do not know of words that are more important concerning the Christian life than these. I have come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Now, what do these words mean? Follow me carefully. These words mean that Jesus was the life giver. He exuded life. He increased vitality in people. He said, come to me and I will increase your vitality. He quickened languid natures. He said, come to me and I'll quicken your languid nature. He made the streams of life to run full. He brought out the best in everyone. He calls men to be their best. He made men live. He was not primarily the deed doer and not primarily the word sayer. He was primarily the life giver. Life flowed from him. He was life. Once it was the blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was the feeling, now it is his word. Once his gifts I wanted, now the giver own. Once I sought for healing, now himself alone. All in all is Jesus. Of Jesus will I sing. Everything is Jesus, and Jesus is everything. He was the life giver. And he said, come unto me, and I will give you life. I'll give it to you more abundantly. For I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now that's what I want to be. I want to be the kind of person that be around brings out the best in everybody. I'd like to think this morning that working with me on the staff has brought out the best in these men up here. These men that share the load with me, and these men who love me, and these men who through these years, many of them been with me now for, well, some well over 20 years. Brother Colston's been here, I guess, 28 years, and Brother Moffitt over 20 years, and on it goes. But I'd like to think that I'm the kind of person that exudes life, and that I want to be the kind of, you know, I read the other day on a sport page. I read two things. I read the Bible and the sport page, not necessarily in that order, but I don't ever go to a game. I don't know when I've watched one, even on a television set. But I read about them. And I read about a baseball player the other day, basketball player, Magic Johnson, I think they said he was. They said Magic Johnson is not only a great player, but they said the thing about Magic Johnson is that he brings or makes the other players better. He makes the other players better. Now, there are some great athletes who probably are greater athletes than others. But there are some athletes, their very presence on the team exudes life. And they make the other players better. There's a man sitting up there this morning with his wife just in the balcony on the second row from the front named Wes Miller. Wes Miller is a life giver. Wes Miller moved to an old section of Hammond, a section of Hammond that was deteriorating, the Harrison Park section of Hammond. A section of Hammond where if you owned property, you sold it in a hurry while you could get $500 for your house. And it was just going down. One man, right up there, Wes Miller, moved to the Harrison Park section of Hammond. Wes Miller's presence brought life to that entire neighborhood. I'm talking about a neighborhood probably maybe a mile long or a half mile long and several blocks wide. And Wes Miller's presence in that neighborhood brought life. I don't mean came to give life. His presence in that neighborhood brought life. You drive down those streets, as I do almost every week, and you'll find old houses that once were abandoned. You'll find them rebuilt, refurbished, and now occupied. You'll find yards that once were filled with garbage. You'll find them now mowed. You'll find shrubs neatly arranged. And an old, old section of house. Why? One man. One man. Boy, that's the kind of guy I want to be. I want to be the kind. That's what Jesus said. He said, come to me. I'll give you life. I'll give it more abundantly. Why? Because I am the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. I'm the resurrection. I'm the life. Get around me, he said. To get around me is to get life, because I'll make a better man out of you and I'll bring out the best from you. That's what I want to be. A life giver. Tell me why some church can run pastor away, pastor after pastor, and run through pastor after pastor. And then some little upstart comes in there and sets that thing on fire, and the crowds begin to come and God's blessings are poured out. Tell me why. I'll tell you why. Because the fellow's a life giver. There's something about getting around him that makes you want to live, and is a life giver. I used to go to a church every year down in Tennessee. I'm not sure. I'll write you and tell you. But I used to go to Tennessee. And out in the Tri-Cities area there, Bristol, Tennessee, Johnson City, and Kingsport. I used to go there every year. It's a good church, good solid church, good strong church, and we always had good meetings. But one year I went there, and there was something electric in the air. When I walked in, I could feel it. I mean, when the choir sang the opening song, I said to myself, something's happened to this church. And by the way, the pastor had been there for many years. And I said, something's happened to this church. I wonder what it is. And the songs had a lilt they didn't have before. And the choir had a shout they didn't have before. And everything was different. And I leaned over to the preacher before I ever preached a sermon. I said, Pastor, something's different. He smiled and said, yes, that's right. And I said, what is it? What's happened? He said, that man right back there. He said, he joined our church. Well, I said, what did he do? He said, he joined our church. Well, what did he do to make it, give it? He said, I don't know, but since he came, everything is different. What am I saying? I'm saying he was a life giver. It's something about his presence that gave life. The lady in this church, her name is Belinda Castillo, came to our young girls. Just walked in their presence, and our young teenage girl suddenly came to life. I recall when I was in seminary down in Fort Worth, we used to have a professor in evangelism. And he used to sit up there and he'd say, young men, I want you to go out of here and be resurrection preachers. I didn't know what he meant the first time I heard him say that. I preach on the resurrection. He said, resurrection preachers. One day I asked him, I said, what do you mean? He said, I want you to leave here and go out to these little dead churches all over Texas, all over the South, and I want you to resurrect them from the dead. Why? Life givers. That's what I want to be. What is the life you're living today? What is the message it bears on its way? Others are waiting. What does it say? What is your life today? Is it a beacon to guide the way? Is it like sunrise that brings the new day? Does it help others over life's way? What is your life today? I'm saying Jesus is saying, he's saying, you come to me, I'll bring out the best in you. You come to me, I'll revive your languid nature. You come to me, I'll make you what you can be. You come to me, I'll help you do what you can do. You come to me, I am life. Get around me is life. That's exactly what I want to be this morning. Whatever I am this morning, I'm not claiming to be much, but whatever I am, brother, I've been hanging around life givers all my life. I never hang around anybody that talks about somebody else. I don't hang around. That's death givers. I don't hang around negative people. I'm nice to them. I'll buy them a coat if they're cold. I'll buy them food if they're hungry, but I won't sit across the table. I'll buy them food, but I won't watch them eat it. I want to be around life givers, not death givers. I want to be around construction people, not destruction people. I want to be around people who give me life. I need life. I need life. I need life. So I want to be around people that give me life. Thinking this morning, every time I get around Dr. Lee Robertson, man, I just start wiggling. He gets up, and I don't know what he says. Usually his sermons are as simple as my mind. In fact, they are mine. I get mine from him. But they're simple as mine. He stands up. Point number one, God is great. Point number two, God is good. Point number three, let us thank him for the food. Man, I sit out there, and it seems so profound when he says it. Let me tell you, this is the Word of God. Never forget it. This is the Word of God. Well, I knew that before I heard him. But there's something about where he says it, I think, boy, I never heard that before in my life. This is the Word of God. This is right. Every time I get around him, I wanna do something. I wanna build a building, tear one down, burn one up, do something. Why? He's a life giver. That's what I wanna be. I wanna cause the people that are around me to be their best. I wanna cause the people that are around me, I want to bring out their best. I wanna help you be what you can be. I wanna help you do what you can do. That's what the Savior said. Thinking a while ago about old Dr. Bob Jones Sr., one of my dear friends. If ever was a man that fell in love with me, it was Dr. Bob Jones Sr., and I'm sure that knowing me as you do, you can understand why. But Dr. Bob Jones Sr., I never said this here. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. met me when I was in my 20s. He came to our church in Texas, preached for me. He was there about 28 hours, preached on Monday night. Tuesday night, I came back later. But Monday night, I had never seen Bob Jones University. I had never seen Dr. Bob Jones Sr. He had never seen me. He was there 28 8 hours. And before he left, I was on the board at Bob Jones University. Bob Jones Jr. never seen me, and I was on his board. And I was also a speaker at the big annual Bible conference at Bob Jones University. I had both of those invitations within 28 hours after I met Dr. Bob Jones Sr. Oh, but to get around that old man, just to get around him, gave me life. He'd put his hand on my shoulder or on my head. He'd say, Jesus, oh, I love you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, I wish I could see you. If I thought you were anywhere in the world, I'd get on a plane and dive there, or fly there. I'd stay in line. I had to stay in line 3 or 4 days. I'd do it just to get a look at you, Jesus, and just to hear you talk. Jesus, oh, Jesus, bless this young man. Oh, Jesus, bless his ministry. Oh, may the wisdom of God and the power of God rest upon his life. Before he died, he called me on the phone. He said, Brother Jack, I want you to come down to Bob Jones University. I want you to be with us. I went down to Bob Jones University. He was staying back in a little hospital. Didn't have the big one then. Little clinic kind of a thing. And Becky, our oldest child, she worshipped Dr. Bob Sr. He was her favorite preacher. Apart from her daddy, in fact, I'm not sure, including her daddy, Dr. Bob was her favorite preacher. And Becky was a teenager then. We flew down to Bob Jones University and went back to that little room in the back of that clinic there. And there sat that old soldier of the cross. And just to walk in his presence gave me life. And just to hear him speak, I mean, life exuded from him. And he made me want to live and love and serve. We talked a while. I said, Dr. Bob, would you pray for me? The old man knelt beside me and put his hands on my head just a few days before he went to heaven. And as he prayed for me, I could hear the trampling of the soldiers, Christian soldiers around the world, marching with the word of God, the message of God, praying for that old dear man. I could hear his army, and I could hear the rattling of his sabers, and I could feel somewhat of the memory of the battles he'd fought, and I could see crusades, and I could see sawdust trails, and I could see tabernacles, and I could see tents, and I could see city auditoriums packed all across this nation. And he put his hand on my head in the last few days of his life, and he prayed for God to give me a portion of his own spirit in the last few days of his life. I'm simply saying, Jesus said, come unto me. I'll give you life. I exude life. I'll make you your best. And he said, I want to bring out the best in you and make you the best you can possibly be. And that's the reason Dr. Bob could do that, because he had been hanging around the life giver. I could say the same thing about Dr. John Rice, my dear friend of many years. Every time I heard him preach, nearly every time I went to the altar, I did. 2,200 times we preached together on platforms across America for 22 years. I've heard the same sermons over and over again. In fact, if he missed an illustration, I'd say, Dr. John, you missed one tonight. I've heard the same sermon on prayer many times through those 22 years. And yet I'd hear it again and again. And as tears had streamed down his old battle-scarred cheeks, down the altar I'd go and get on my face and ask God to forgive me because I didn't pray like I should. I'm simply saying, you find a life giver. Don't you get around these death givers. Don't you get around these destroyers. You get around these constructors. Don't get around these destructors. Get around these life givers. Thank God for folks who give life. I preached this week down at Bill Rice Ranch for Founders Week. My 31st consecutive year to preach there at the ranch. I preached for Founders Week. I thought about Dr. Bill. They showed some slides of Dr. Bill. He's in heaven now. Oh, Dr. Bill, the most charming man I ever met in my life. Never met a personality like Dr. Bill. So you get around him, there's something about that man that just exuded life, and you wanted to live, and you wanted to laugh, and you wanted to love. That's what Jesus is saying. He said, I am the life. Well, Jesus, can I go to some college and get it? No, he said, get around me. I am the life. Can I read some book and memorize it? No, he said, get around me. I am the life. And you can get truth in a seminary or college. You can get error too. But you can get truth in a seminary or college. And you can get Bible facts in a seminary or college. But you can't get life except from hanging around Jesus. That's the only way you'll get life. I'm talking about abundant life. I'm talking about overflowing life. He'll bring out the best in you. I cannot tell you what it is. It is not enthusiasm, though it produces enthusiasm. It is not pep, though it does produce pep. It's not excitement, though it does produce excitement. It's not charisma, though it does produce charisma. May I parenthesize for a minute, and I think you'll find this a part of the sermon later. Two great purposes I have in my life. Now, you don't know this. Most of you don't know me well, but anybody that knows me well knows this is true. I have two great purposes in my life. Purpose number one, I want to seize my moment. I want to seize my moment. My life, if I have 70 years, 70, I've got 8 years and a little over 2 months left. And while I have it, I want to seize it. I don't want to squander it. I don't want to waste it. I want to seize it. My life. That's why I go and gone all these years so much. That's why I haven't had a vacation in 20 years. I haven't taken a day off in 20 years. That's why I keep going. I know I'm burning the candle at both ends, doing it on purpose. I know it. You say, why? Because back yonder years ago, God gave me the ear of thousands of fundamental preachers in this nation. I do not know why He did it. I'm the least of the preachers. I don't know why He did it. But young preachers across this nation, thousands of them call me their pastor. And they flock to our nationwide pastor school with the thousands every year. Last year, I preached to over 38,000 preachers in my meetings across America. I preached last week at Founders Week and the week before last. I forgot where I was. And I preached a few weeks ago at the National Convention for the ACE. And next Friday, I'll be closing the Great Sword of the Lord Convention, 7,000 people at Bob Jones University, and I've preached to them across this land, 38,000 preachers in the last 12 months. I'm saying, for some reason or other, God's given me their ear, and I've got to seize it. It's my moment. It's my chance. It's my opportunity to do what I can to save my generation and serve my generation and do my little part to join thousands of others to make the next generation possible and to make America free for our children and our grandchildren. I'm simply saying, I want to seize my moment. Second thing I want to do with my life, I want to help others seize their moment. That's what I'm talking about. I want to help others seize their moment. I hope that Bob O'Clair is a better Bob O'Clair than he would have been if he'd never crossed my path. I hope that John Colston is a better John Colston, a more productive John Colston than he would have been if it never crossed my path. I hope that Jim Jorgensen is a better Jim Jorgensen and is what he more than he could ever been if he hadn't crossed my path. I hope Dr. Wendell Evans is a more productive man. I hope that he's doing more for God than he could have been if it never crossed my path. But that doesn't matter. That's not the issue. The issue is, if I cannot be the life giver though I want to be, bless God, He is! He is! Get to know Him. Get to know Him. Walk with Him. Be alone with Him. Talk to Him. Pray with Him. Walk with Him. Fellowship with Him. Meditate. Stay close to Him. He is the life giver. I must tell a story that's often told from this pulpit. Illustrate, but most of you know it well. But I love it. One of the most precious stories to me, I know. I'll start my 30th year here next month. About 32 years ago, I was pastoring in Garland, Texas. We had an evangelist there whose name was Tom Landers. He was the fellow who followed me as pastor there at Miller Road Baptist Church in Garland, Texas, near Dallas. Brother Tom Landers came over here to the First Southern Baptist Church and preached a revival campaign over there about 32 years ago. He came back and he said, Brother Jack, could I have a meal with you? We went down to the Harris Restaurant to eat in Garland. He said, here's why I want to eat with you and talk to you, Brother Jack. I said, why, Tom? He said, I've been to a city to preach a revival. I've never seen anything like it before. He said, there is a city that needs life. It's the city of Hammond, Indiana. He said, Brother Jack, you can't understand how those people live up there. He said, most of them work in the steel mills, and you can't understand the conditions under which they work. He said, Brother Jack, he said, it snows month after month and weather gets down below zero. Why, he said, those people up there in the Hammond, Calumet region, he said they get up in the morning and it's dark and they go to work and it's still dark and they're working those blast furnaces all week long, all day long, and get off work and it's already dark again. And they come home and he said, Brother Hiles, he said, with your vitality and your enthusiasm and your zeal and your love of humor, he said, I believe you could do something if you'd go up there for 2 weeks and be in that area. He said, promise me something, Brother Jack. Promise me if I could get you an invitation to go to Hammond, Indiana, you'd go up there and spend 2 weeks. I believe you could do something for that area. I promised him. I didn't know I'd spend 29 years up here. I hope I brought life. I hope I've given life, cheer, love, joy, mercy, grace. Oh, if I could reach out this morning and put my arms around you and say, there's more to life than having a nice home. There's more to life than having a good car. If you buy it, don't buy it from Roy Moffitt. If you do, check the hubcaps. Lock them on. But there's more to life than making some money. And there's more to life than going to an amusement park. I'll tell you what life's all about. Seize your moment. Seize your moment. And then once you have seized your moment, you help somebody else seize his moment. Now, to do this, I must be a life giver. If I seize my moment, and I help you to seize your moment, I must be a life giver. Jesus said, come unto me and I'll give you life and give it more abundantly. He said, I am the life. Get to know me. Get around me. Get close to me. Now, how do I get this life? I come to Jesus. I just come to Jesus. Basically, that's the whole Christian life right there. If you're not saved, just come to Jesus. If you are saved, come back to Him. You get abundant life, same place you got life. Hang around Him. Get to know Him. Be alone. Walk with Him. Read His book. Talk with Him. Love Him. Meditate upon Him. Hang around Him. He'll give you life. I'll tell you why. If you're a critic this morning, I'll guarantee you this. You've not been around the life giver. You want to be a life giver. You've got to hang around the source of life. His very presence gives you life. And I want to come to others. I want to be with others who are life givers. People ask me this question often. How do you keep giving out year after year? You understand, most preachers are playing golf on Monday morning. I'm on an airplane going somewhere to preach at night. You understand, I haven't got time to feel depressed. You don't understand, I haven't got time to get tired. People say, how is it? I've praised God across America for this, and I've told you, the last time that I missed an engagement because of illness was 23 years ago. I'm 61 years old. The last time that I missed an engagement in this pulpit on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, or anywhere in America, I was 38 years of age. You think God hasn't been good to me? Well, how do you keep going? How do you keep going, sermon after sermon, trip after trip, over 7 million miles on airplanes? How do you keep going? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's the answer. Hang around the life giver. Spend time with the life giver. Know the life giver. He says, come to me and I'll give you eternal life. And he said, well, come back. Don't leave. Come back. I'll give you abundant life. I'll make you become the best you can become. I don't come to the death givers. I hang around the life givers. There are certain preachers across America whom I love dearly. They need my help. They can have it, but I won't eat with them. They're death givers. They got some tale to tell about somebody else. I won't sit around with them. I love them. I'll help them. Oh, but I got some preacher friends around this country that are life givers. I wish you knew old John Powell out here in Wadsworth, Ohio. I wish you'd get around that guy. He says, I have did and I done, but blessed God, he done a heap, I'll tell you for sure. And he has did an awful lot, too. He says, I seen and I have saw, but brother, he's seen more than folks that have seen. Get around him. Man, just to get around a guy, he gives me life. Just an old country boy gives me life. Love to be around him. Old Dallas Dobson out there in Pasco, Washington. God bless that big old fat heavy set fella. Weighed over 300 pounds. Was a state trooper down in Mississippi, down Alabama, Mississippi one. And God called him to preach, and he decided to take off and start a church in Seattle, Washington. But he ran out of gas. His car broke down in Pasco. He said, shoot, let's just stay here and build a church. Built the biggest fundamental Sunday school west of the Mississippi River. Plays the French harp in church. I'm sorry, the harmonica for you cultured people in church. Just to get around it makes me feel better. A life giver! A life! Listen, I can tell who you've been around when I see you. I can talk to somebody that I see often, and I can tell whether they've been around life givers or death givers. If I were you, I'd love every death giver in the world, but a hello and a goodbye is about all you ought to say to them. Because you'll leave with death on your mind, but thank God, they're life givers. People who walk with Jesus and who heard him say, come unto me, and I'll give you life, and I'll give it abundantly. Well, where is it? He said, I am the life. I'll give you life. I died today. By the way, Bill Rice Ranch, I was talking to one of the employees there. He told me about Dr. Bill Rice when he died. They were on a trip. The staff was on a little trip. He was only 64 years old at the time. He called them together and he said to the staff, I'm not going to live long. That was in January. In June, he had a stroke that finally took his life. Brother, he lived. He lived. He seized his moment. If I died today, don't get your hopes up. But if I died today, I've seized my moment. I really have. For the little fellow that was reared in the ghettos of West Dallas, Southwest Dallas. The little run of a fellow that nobody ever thought. When I passed the army physical, my church was shocked. I was too. So was Uncle Sam. The little run of a guy, least likely prospect for the ministry in the church or in the little ghetto neighborhood where I grew up. God has let me be his man, one of his men, for 41 blessed years of pastoring churches. Over 46,000 times I've stood behind pulpits across this nation and around this world. 25 great pastor schools now, where this building is overflowing with every aisle filled with chairs, and people from 49 states and 14 foreign countries last year came for the entire week to live and sweat here. And so many of them, we can't, in fact, they use the restroom before they leave home. The next time they use it, when they get back home, we're so crowded here. And they come from all over the world to a church pastored by a little old ghetto-bound boy. I've seized my moment. To those who have lived with me, I hope I've helped you seize your moment. I hope you're a little more than what you would have been if you hadn't been a part of the work here. To those of you who are coming along behind, I hope we've prepared you somewhat to seize your moment. And how have we prepared you? By pointing to him. the morning this building was dedicated. Didn't have the mezzanine then. Didn't have the extension on the balcony then. That time it only seated 5,000 people. The morning this building was dedicated, I was in my office praying. Well, the night before, I'd come over here and I'd planned to preach a certain message, dedication message. Had it all outlined. And I stood in this building, and to me, it was the prettiest thing I'd ever seen. And we worked so hard to make it a reality. And that night, as I knelt behind this pulpit alone, I said, "Dear Jesus, I'm not going to preach what I was going to preach tomorrow. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to preach about you. I'm not going to let these pews and this carpet and these chandeliers and this building, I'm not going to let it be the main attraction tomorrow." And I preached about him. That morning I couldn't come to the service. I was in my office. And I said, "Oh God, I can't go over there. I can't go over there. I'm not a big preacher. I'm a country preacher. I can't do it." Somebody came and said, "Preacher, folks are waiting on you." I said, "I can't go. I can't go." And finally I came. And I want to praise him this morning for what he's done in this building. Not only what he's done in this area, did you know that the population of the greater Chicago area, did you know that counting the people that have walked down these aisles and knelt at these altars receiving Christ, saying they did, I can't tell you how many are sincere anymore, can I tell you how many sincere? 5 came. But the total number of people who walked down these aisles and knelt in these altars to receive Christ as Savior is 1/14 of the population of the greater Chicago area. There just may have been never a church in this area in its history that's covered this city like we have. I think I know the reason. We've gotten close to the life giver. Seize your moment. And once you have seized your moment, don't miss your moment. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't be so busy having fun, you miss your moment. Don't be so busy making money, you miss your moment. Don't be so busy getting educated that you miss your moment. Don't be so busy in pleasure, you miss your moment. Don't miss your moment. You'll not be here again. Don't miss it. And then to those of you who follow on, you dear college students whom I love dearly, not many of you here for the summer, but to you, your high school students and your teenagers, for whom I pray every week. Ever since you were born, I've prayed every week for you. I hope, Brother Hiles, has been a life giver to you. I hope I've helped you seize your moment. This morning, if you're not saved, this is your moment. This is the moment you were made for. This is it. You may never again feel what you feel right now. You may never again hear what you're hearing right now. You may never again go to a church in your life that'll beg you to come to Christ. This is your moment. This is it. Don't miss it. Seize it. Grasp it. In a few moments we're going to sing. The choir's going to sing. We're going to stand. And as the choir sings and we stand, I want every one of you here that's never taken time to receive Christ as your own Savior. I want you to come to Him and receive His gift of eternal life, which is Christ Himself. We'll show you how. Somebody will take a Bible. They'll open the Bible and kneel with you on this at this altar. And they'll show you the best story you've ever heard. You may never feel what you feel now again. You may never feel it. The thing that you feel now and the desire you have right now may never come to you again. Seize your moment while you've got it. Seize it. He said, the crowd's big, not as big as it's going to be at the Great White Throne Judgment. You walk down this aisle and let somebody take the Bible and show you how you can go to heaven when you die. If you don't want to join this church, okay, forget that. But you join the family of God by faith in the Son of God today. Seize your moment. Seize it. Seize it! And get to the life giver. Get to the life giver. If you've been saved but you've not been baptized, then when we sing, I want you to come. We'll baptize you this morning. We have the robes, the towels, everything is ready. All we need is you and a willing heart. but don't come unless you've been saved or are willing to get saved for baptism. This is the church you feel like you ought to join. We invite you to come, but before you come, let's pull back the veneer, this fundamental church. Let me tell you what you're getting into. It's fundamental church. We believe every word in that book is inspired by God. We believe that the heaven that's described in Revelation 21, 22 is exactly as it's described. We don't think those are symbols. We don't think that the fire in hell is symbolic. We don't think that being born again is a catechism. Let me warn you. We believe in the old-time religion. Let me warn you. Don't come under false pretense. We invite you to come. Shall we stand? The choir will sing. Would you leave your seat now? Come toward the aisle. Seize your moment. Seize it now as the choir sings the first stanza. Come quickly.